Welcome to Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast. It's time to be healed. It's time to be restored. It's time to breathe. Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. Here's our host, Sandy James.
Hey guys, welcome. I'm Sandy James. I'm so glad you've tuned in today. I'm with my great friend, Carmel Litt. Hi, Carmel.
Hi, Sandy.
I have known Carmel forever. I think we have decided that I've known you for, I would say, about 13 years.
Yeah, that's
probably
a
long
right.
Friendship. I love this woman. Mm-hmm. She's a woman of God. She loves the Lord. She loves her children. She is great and mighty in the kingdom, and she has some stories. Remember, our theme right now is about the Lord restoring all, you know, and about us recovering all, and that the Lord intends for us to have shalom, nothing missing and nothing broken. Amen. And so Carmel's got some amazing restoration stories, don't you?
Yes, I do. Praise God.
How many kids do you have?
Four kids.
She has four kids, and they're the best kids I've ever met. And she's married to her husband, Ryan, for how many years now?
25.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. She lives right here in town with me, and I'm just glad for you to get to know her and to meet her. So tell us some stories, Carmel. Tell us some restoration
I'll
stories.
I'll be happy to. Let me correct myself first, though, because I actually have 4 plus 1, because my oldest got married, and I sometimes forget to say 5.
Yeah.
One honorary child. So 5 kids. Well, as I think about what the Lord has been doing in my life recently, It reflects a pattern of my entire life. So when I first met Jesus, I was a little ragamuffin girl. He came after me. My family did not participate or belong to any church.
Okay.
We were kind of in a crisis transition, and my mom had gone back to college for a few years after a really ugly divorce, actually. Mm-hmm. And a little girl down the street befriended me, whose dad was the pastor of a little church on the corner. And they just started loving me into the kingdom and joining in with my grandparents' prayers, who prayed me into the kingdom. And the Lord just pursued me as a little girl. I recognized him. You know, when your life is dark and you don't have a lot of distractions, material and relational distractions, he's really easy to recognize.
Yeah.
And so when I saw him, I said, I want this. I want this daddy in my life. I didn't have a daddy at the time. And he came in. And that began a love relationship with him when I was in the 5th grade. The thing that happened 3 years later really is the beginning of these testimonies that I'm going to share today. Because although I knew the Lord and I loved the Word, he put a love for the Word in me.
Wow.
Even as a new elementary age child, I started doing a Bible correspondence course with someone that, like when I filled out the discipleship card, they didn't know my age and they just started sending me Bible studies.
Wow.
And so I remember sitting up in a tree and memorizing the books of the Bible. The Holy Spirit was just giving me this yearning to know. And I was reading the King James Version, which was the approved version of that church denomination. And I loved it. And I could understand it. I mean, you just know when the Holy Spirit is doing it. And so looking back, I've been thinking recently, that was not normal.
Right.
But that is normal for the Holy Spirit to love the Word and to pursue God. So I was involved in a denomination at the time that was more rule oriented. And yet my grandparents went to a church that was not a strict denomination of any kind. And when I would visit them, they had a different type of walk with Jesus. They would stop in the middle of dinner and pray for people. They would turn off the TV. People would call them all the time, like, we need prayer right now. And they just loved each other. They were really affectionate and they were really kind and uplifting to me.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, there's something unique here. This isn't the church I'm experiencing. This isn't the faith I'm experiencing. So I was with a friend who belonged to that church, just visiting in Kansas one time. And I said, why are you so joyful? And she said, well, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I was like, what does that even mean? Like, who is that? I mean, that's how much I was confused. And she said, well, my pastor's house is just right there across the street. Do you want to ask him? And so we went over there and went in his house, sat down on his couch. Actually, he was right here. He walked me through the verses that talk about the prayer language and the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm going to start praying for you. And when I start praying, you just start praying. And that is how simple it was. I was an eighth grader and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, started praying in tongues. And then I went home, went back to my church. And I really, the battle began that my doctrine said no and my spirit said yes.
Wow.
And I struggled for a long time because I felt like I have to know if this is right. And if it is right, why don't these people teach it? And so I just got very confused about denominations. And at the time, my mom was Catholic. My parents had been Mormon. And I was just very confused. And so time went on, and I started recognizing over the years that when I participated with the Holy Spirit in prayer, my joy and intentionality with the Lord skyrocketed. And when I didn't practice that exercise or relationship in that way, it went down, and I started depending more on people and on myself. And so, anyway, the Lord has been teaching me over the years just to put that issue to rest and just fan into flame the gift that was given to me through the laying on of hands. That's what the scripture says.
Wow.
And so I pray in tongues a lot now, and I know there are a lot of people who want intimacy with the Lord and aren't sure why they're stuck in questioning mode. Why is this way? Why do these people believe that? And the word seems to contradict because everyone finds what they want to see in the word.
Yeah.
But I can just say the fruit of my life in these moments of crisis has been because of the work the Holy Spirit is doing through tongues, I'm ready. I don't know what to be ready for. He knows what to prepare me for. And
awesome.
So one testimony that ties to the main one I'm going to share is I was walking down the street in my hometown one day. I was a high schooler, and I've always had a little bit of a fear of unleashed dogs just running around. I don't know why. I've never been attacked or anything like that, but I just, maybe just a normal, rational fear. But there was a really mean German Shepherd in our town, and I worked with its owner at this restaurant, and I always would notice her dog was on a leash, and it was a German Shepherd. It was really vicious. And I was walking to my grandma's about a block from there, and for some reason, this dog was off its leash that day. And as I was walking toward her house, it came at me, snarling like it was getting ready to kill me. And I just, Jesus! That's what came out of my mouth. Just had no idea what was going to come out of my mouth. I am thankful it was Jesus. Could have been something else. But that dog obeyed the name of Jesus. It stopped 2 feet in front of me, sat down on its rear, looked at me, and turned around and ran off.
Wow.
And another time we were driving with some friends on our way to Colorado, and about a herd of probably 15 deer, we were going through fog. We came around the corner of this bend in the road, and suddenly the SUV was covered in deer. The road was just covered in deer. And I just started saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And we all, to this day, know a supernatural incident happened because we didn't hit any. And we all experience this slow motion time that everything moved out of our way and we went on.
Wow.
I have goosebumps, right? But that's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
The Holy Spirit calls on Jesus. He says that we have sonship and we hear in our hearts that we belong to God and we cry out, Abba, Daddy.
That's right.
And so I don't want any glory. I don't deserve any glory, but I do give glory to the Holy Spirit because I think that's a divisive factor in church, the gifts of the Spirit. All I can share is what I know, that in my own life, it's non-negotiable. The power of the Holy Spirit is non-negotiable. So I know you had heard about this testimony.
Yeah.
We went to Cancun a few years ago. Gosh, now it's been... See, Griffin was born in 2003, so I believe it was in 2002. It's been a long time. We went to Cancun with some friends of ours, Jeremy and Kelly Kubicek, And it was just going to be Wednesday evening in Dallas, get on the flight Thursday morning, come home Sunday evening. Wow. We were leaving our littles, so it had to be quick, you know, fast and furious little getaway. And they were also leaving small kids. Well, the last night we were there, a hurricane came in to the island, and they closed down our resort. We couldn't get out. Our flights were canceled. And so we went into town and got a hotel and decided we'd try to leave the next day. So the Lord was orchestrating these things, but for some reason, we went to see the movie Signs. And I don't want to dwell on this, but it's a Mel Gibson movie that's faith-based about when bad things happen. Is God in it, or are you on your own? And so we saw that movie. We walked out of the movie. We were all discussing the theme and the message. And we actually got on a city bus, and Jeremy said, I don't think this is safe. Let's get a taxi. And we got back off. And we got in a taxi to drive back to our hotel room. We were almost to our hotel room, and we pulled out in front of a drunk driver. Our taxi cab driver did not look right, and we were in the direct line of a driver running a red light. It hit Jeremy, the front right driver's side door, and he, if you've ever been in a serious car accident, it's like time just stopped, and all we could hear was him yelling and moaning. And somehow the driver exited the vehicle, and it was just the four of us in the car. And Kelly was behind him, Ryan in the middle, and then me. And immediately, well, you're disoriented for a second. So we all, I think, were disoriented for a second. Then we realized he was hurt, and we all started praying for him. And then I heard Kelly saying, you've been such a good dad. You've been such a good husband. And I said, no. And I just started praying in tongues, loud and pretty wild. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing other than I just had no inhibition. Normally in a group, I just pray quietly. I kind of have a little, maybe inhibition, but just kind of this awareness of I don't want to pray too loudly without an interpreter. But in that situation, it came out of me. The Holy Spirit came out of me, and I just started praying and commanding that he breathe and that life stay and that God move. And pretty soon the paramedics came, and they got him in the ambulance, he and Kelly. And then the taxi we were in followed him there. And then for the next 24 hours, just to kind of wrap this part of the story up, there were multiple crises throughout the night, and God supernaturally intervened. He was working amazingly in Ryan's heart. Ryan, my husband, was really touched in a really powerful way through this encounter. And at one point, Jeremy's blood pressure dropped perilously low, and they decided to do surgery, emergency surgery. And I just felt in my spirit that they were not supposed to perform surgery on him at that time. I just really felt strongly. And so I went out in the lobby, and I was just asking the Lord what to do. And he said, call Brad. And I was like, Brad, who? Well, we knew a person who was an anesthesiologist, and I had memorized his wife's number when we were newlyweds, but we hadn't even been in contact for a long time. But her phone number came to my mind, and I called her, and he answered. Brad answered, and I asked him, what do we do? And he said, do a tilt test. So he walked us through this thing to check his blood pressure and the need for surgery. And Jeremy passed with flying colors. And we said, no, we're not going to allow surgery. And the doctor said, this is amazing. How did that just happen? And they acknowledged God had done something. And so then, and this isn't my part of the story, but basically an angel accompanied Jeremy's parents to the island and then disappeared. And then...
Back up. Wait a second. No. We got to know about the angel.
Well, a person was on their flight that they got all their information, and they just had the most powerful presence of God on them, and they explained what was going on, and they just acted like, I'm here for you. And they accompanied them to the hospital, And then they left, and they could never find anyone with that name, phone number. None of the information worked. And they feel like God sent an angel to accompany them.
I believe it.
Yeah. And so anyway, so they ended up being in Cancun a total of 11 days. We came home, and just to show it wasn't my flesh doing that, I felt apart. We came home on my 30th birthday. So yeah, 18 years ago. And Ryan had planned a surprise party, which of course didn't happen. I've always just wished that he would do that again. But anyway, he wrote a like 10-page testimony of all the miracles God did. And he was so high on Jesus that he would not sleep.
Wow.
Well, I had been on the high, and I kind of like crashed.
Right.
And I was like, you know, needing angels to attend me. That's right. Yeah. Elijah, I was like, there's no one else righteous but me. And so it was an interesting time in our marriage, because he was like, why do we need sleep? And I'm like, will you just help with the kids? Please just do something. So awesome. it was powerful, though, because we saw the Holy Spirit move and really do divine miracles and interventions. And so,
and he lived.
Well, not only did he live, he had such a soul-searching time in his own life that was the catalyst to leaving the company he was working for, going out on his own, becoming a full-time consultant, and really, that was like the crux of his first book.
Wow.
Jeremy's first book, and he's now written 5, I believe. So, awesome. Yeah, it really is. So, anyway, just some of the ways the Holy Spirit has worked in my life, and my kids will tell you, I'm not a crisis person. I don't think I would ever be called to work in an emergency room. When we have minor emergencies like water pouring out of our downstairs vent in the living room, I flip out. Like, I'm not claiming that. I don't want to, but it wasn't life or death. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I gave my kids like PTSD because I was not functioning like an adult. They had to figure out what to do. So it just shows like the Lord, when he is required to be there, and his servants are emptied and filled up with his Spirit
in the right place,
he does it
at the right time.
He does it, yeah,
willing to do whatever he says.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so good.
And it's almost like effortless, like just who you are as his kid comes out. And that's so reassuring to me, because I can tend to lean on my understanding. And really, I just remember, and the Lord reminds me, just pray in the Spirit at all times, on all occasions. You will be equipped for whatever you have to face. Just pray in the Spirit, and when the moment comes, let him do his thing.
Yeah.
And he does.
So you're ready, like
yes,
you said at the
you're
beginning.
Ready. So, yeah, that's one testimony. And then I think just the power of prayer as well. Something I told you I was going to share a little bit about my marriage and some of the healing that's been going on. This is such a long story, I'm going to really have to abbreviate it. But my husband's a realtor. I've since joined his team in the last few years. And he's always had a dream of buying or building a new home, having a new home. Well, my brother-in-law is a builder, so we decided we would tackle that dream. And I was reluctant because I knew it was going to be a strain. And I'm a dreamer, and I love designing and decorating things, but I just felt anxious because I felt like where we were was a good place. Well, I was driving into my neighborhood one day, and the Lord said, we are done here. I said, I think that was you. I'm pretty sure. Okay.
You can
and
tell
that
when
carried
it
me
unhooks
through.
You from a place.
Though. Yes.
Yeah.
And so for the next year and all the chaos and messes of moving twice and renting and building from the ground up, really from the architectural plans, nothingness to everything, God carried me through, and he continually confirmed. But at the end of that build, we were fractured as a family.
Mm-hmm.
It just took so much time and attention and money and conflict with our family member who built. It was hard, hard work.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the end, and I told Ryan, I feel like we've lost 5 years of ground the Lord has given us. And I was speaking with a friend about it. She said, you sound pretty codependent, because I couldn't figure out how to get back to the happy place with my husband and my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was living in I called it the cave. It just felt like a big, lonely, perfect house, and not me at all. Anyway, so I ended up in Celebrate Recovery. I realized I had really given up my satisfaction in the Lord. I was making the bed one day and honestly kind of doing it with a bad attitude, thinking, why do I always have to make the bed? And the Lord said, when did I stop being enough for you? And that will stop you in your tracks. Yeah. And I thought, and that phrase just kind of washed over me. And I thought, you know, I grew up in a godless home and I knew the joy of the Lord. And as a believer with a born again husband, I could not find the joy of the Lord. And I was like, wow. It's me. It's me. Mm-hmm. It's not the house. It's not him. I have allowed the enemy to come. And so anyway, I started getting out of that denial, and God did a miraculous work, and he sold that house for us. Ryan came home soon after that and said, God spoke to me. It's amazing how when we kind of own our issues and our fault,
right,
then those men we live with start hearing God's voice again. It's amazing. And maybe your kids too. Maybe our kids too.
Yeah.
So anyway, he came home one day and I just jumped for joy because he said the Lord gave me a list of about 8 things we're going to do. And the first one is we're going to sell this house. Now, mind you, we had lived in it 8 months.
Wow.
And I said, praise God. Well, there's too much to share. But as we were building, God kept saying, keep going, keep going, keep going. In fact, the day we closed on the big house, he closed 10 deals. 10.
Wow.
That has never happened before or since. It replenished our savings. Everything that was over and above what we thought we would have to spend,
right,
it took care of.
Wow.
And so then the Lord sent us a buyer who bought the house without ever seeing it from Hawaii. And that's not even all the details. But anyway, Ryan was obeying the Lord. Because he obeyed the Lord, she saw the house. She fell in love with the house. She bought the house, and they saw it 3 weeks later.
Wow.
So then we said, okay, Lord, this time you decide where we're going to live. So he sold the house, sent us back into town, and took care of all of our debt. We had never been debt free, got us completely out of debt. And our kids came to us and said, we want to share rooms again, and we want God to do something with this bedroom. And since that time, we have had international students live with us. We have fostered twin baby boys that we still have relationship
wow.
with.
Aww.
And the Lord has just, he has done more in the aftermath of what I call the carnage. But he allowed it because he needed to redeem the yeah. direction we were going and
yeah.
bring us back to kingdom work. And
wow.
so that's just another
that
story
so
of restoration.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That I had no idea that was going on in your life as it was going on.
Hello, friends. This is Greg with Greg James Designs. We design barndominium homes, metal building homes, and pole barn homes. If you would like to call us and discuss your project, feel free. 405-697-2110 or visit us on the web at gregjamesdesigns.com. We would love to talk about your project. Give us a call.
Okay, so if you had one thing, if you could look at one woman on this podcast, if you had one thing to leave her with, one thing that we could do for her, what would you tell her?
I think I would say the same thing I said to my son this morning. Stop running and filling your life with all the things you think will satisfy, and be still and let the Lord love you. Let him show you how much he loves you, that he understands the pain you've gone through. He wants to comfort you. Cry out to him and just wait for him to do what he wants to do and has been longing to do for you.
Mm. It's so powerful. We're going to bless her right now. We're looking at you right now. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. We
yes.
bless you. We declare that it is time for you to come to the Lord. to find him, to respond. The reason you're listening to this podcast today is so that you can respond to the things of God.
Yes.
You can respond to the call of the Lord, which you know is going on with you right now. And Carmel and I just bless you in the name of Jesus to go ahead and have the courage to do that. And then be filled with the Holy Spirit that Carmel talked about. Go ahead and speak in tongues. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay. We're praying out the mysteries of God. We're calling on the Lord and we're praying out the mysteries of God. What you don't understand. Mm-hmm. The Lord is so much greater than what you've ever understood. Thank God.
Thank you.
Thank God, Lord. He is not limited to our understanding. Lord, we bless you for the one who's listening today. And we declare that their lives will never be the same. We thank you, Lord God, that you are moving in the earth and that this one is part of that. Mm. That your hand of power is upon their life in the name of Jesus. And today is their day to respond to you.
Yes,
we receive their salvation. We receive their infilling and we receive their activation in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Carmel, so much.
You're so welcome.
If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Well, they can call me or email me. Either one.
Okay.
My phone number is 405-590-6698. And my email address is litz, L-I-T-Z, bunch, like a bunch of grapes, at sbcglobal.net.
Amen. Amen. I just want to remind you all that Breathe is coming up on November 7th. And you don't want to miss it.
Nope.
It's all about pressing into the presence of the Lord and finding him there and being totally activated in your walk with the Lord, who he is in the earth and who you are in the plan of God.
Amen.
It's time. You can register on our website and we would love to see you there. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in today. You are a blessing. You're called by the King of Glory. And we are believing God for you.
Amen.
Have a great day and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us as we steward a move of God in the earth. To find out more about Breathe Retreat, visit breatheretreat.life. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Join us next week for Breathing Room, a Breathe podcast.